First of all, thank you very much for allowing me to come and preach, share the word of God with you all. My name is Samuel. I used to live in Melbourne. At the moment, I'm in India. We are working as missionary over there. My wife is with me, Druti Krishan. We got two daughters, but I'll talk to you about myself a bit later on. At the moment, I'm here to preach the word. So if you have your Bible, I'll be reading from Psalm 1. We'll be looking at Psalm 1 in its entirety. Psalm 1. Okay, sorry about that. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, this is the word of God. You can completely trust on him, because that these words are come from mouth of the Lord. So let's pray and ask him that may God give us the understanding of his words. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise your name for this day and this time. Father, as we sit under your word, as we hear your voice this morning, Father, anything that may hinder us to hear you clearly, Father, we pray that all those things may you take away from us. And Father, may you give us the undivided heart and mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 1 is a gateway to the Psalms. And if you think of Psalm 1, and if you read the Psalm 1, you realize that Psalm 1 presents us with one thing that every single human being longs for and strives for, and yet tends to look for all the wrong places. And that is called the true happiness. This psalm is about true and lasting happiness. Psalm 1 addresses that. We know that because that's what the first word in the psalm means. Blessed. Blessed is the man. When we think of this word, the Hebrew word, which has been used here, which translated as blessed, conveys the meaning, or it essentially that word means truly happy. In fact, a number of Bible translations, you know, use the word happy instead of blessed as well. So my point is not that, you know, the translation which we are using is wrong, but the thing is I'm just trying to point out what the word implies. And so in this psalm, which really is the gateway into the rest of the psalm, shows you the way to experience the true happiness. As you read the psalms, and it's all talk about the true happiness. Or if that sounds too trivial, another way to put it this way, the psalm shows us the life that is truly worth living. So we'll look at this psalm in three parts, and structure is just up, you know, on the screen as well. So we'll look at it in three parts: the way of the blessed. Secondly, we'll look at the experience of the blessed person as well. And third and last, the destiny of the blessed person. So let's look at the first one, the way of the blessed. We see this, the way of the blessed, in the first two verses of this psalm. It's first stated negatively in verse 1, and then it is stated positively in verse 2 as well. So it's saying that the blessed person avoids certain things. And Psalm 1 says, this blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seats of the scoffers. The blessed doesn't, listen to the counsel of the wicked. Trouble is, it's more subtle than, sometimes we think when we think of this counseling. We think that we do not take counsel from the wicked as well. But it's very subtle. It's very subtle. Far more pervasive than we really want. We live in a culture that pretty much, removed God from every aspect of her life. Pretty much every part. And so the counsel of the wicked is pretty much the air we breathe. This is what we do. If you pick up your phone, you are being counseled. When you are in your Facebook, you are being counseled. When you are listening or reading the newspaper, you are being counseled as well. because every comedy or every documentary, every news report, every advertisement you come across, they are actually counseling you. Everywhere you go, you are being instructed about a way of viewing your life, a way of determining right and wrong according to that counsel. You are constantly being told what to think, what to desire, what to wear, especially for the young people. They just get crazy behind the brands. What is happening all here? This advertisement are actually counsel them, how to live their life, Notice the progression here. How can we see, in verse 1, there is a downward progression. There is a, counsel of the wicked. Then there is a standing with the sinners. And there is a sitting with the scoffers as well. So there is a downward, the progression we can see here as well. But look at the other thing, which verse 1 say. Let me just explain it this way. It shows us walking, standing, and sitting. This is the progression, walking, standing, and sitting. It's a picture of influence taking root in person's life and affecting every aspect of that person's life. To walk in the counsel of the wicked means you listen to their advice. You are listening to what they are saying. You are listening to their values and their way of thinking. Standing in someone's way is an expression in the Hebrew way of saying, is that means doing what someone else does as well. You confirm their way of life. You confirm their actions. You go along with the crowd. And then to sit in this, smokers or scoffers is the language of belonging. When you are sitting with someone, that literally means you belong to them. Hebrew thinking, whenever it talks about in the Old Testament about sitting with someone, it conveys the idea that you are actually, you belong there as well. So you have not only taken on the same value and lifestyle as the world, but that's where you belong now. And you also scoff those who are different than you. Walk, stand, and still. That's the downward progression or downward progress of unbelief. And it is actually taking a person away from God. That is the progression. That is why the psalm begins with a negative description. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand with the sinners, and who does not sit with the scoffers. But it also, if you look at the verse 2, it talks about the positive influence as well. What does the blessed man does? What he do? Verse 2 says, he delights in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. This is what he does. This is what the blessed man do. This is the alternative of being influenced by the unbelieving, alternative to being influenced by the unbelieving world. And it's about being influenced by God himself, because this person is not taking advice from anyone else, but now he's sitting and, he's taking advice, counsel from the Lord. He's meditating on the law of the Lord, and he's constantly thinking about God. So let's break this sentence and sentence down and look at its detail. The first thing, to the blessed person, who is influencing the blessed person? His delight is in the Lord. What is this law of the Lord here? You might think the Ten Commandments, or you might think, you know, maybe something else, maybe the first five books of the law. Is that what the, you know, law means when a writer talks here? You know, at the place in John 10 verse 34, Jesus, you know, talks about certain things, and he says that, is it not written in the law? And then he quotes, you know, Psalm, you know, this particular Psalm. What it means is the law, when the word law has been used here, it does not only refer to the Ten Commandments or the first five books of the law, but everything that has been written in the scripture. It's talking about the whole Bible as a rule of life. Notice how the word of God influenced this person. On his law, this blessed man meditates. What does it mean to meditate on the word? You know, the place where I work, meditation has been misunderstood. You know, what it means is, some people think that you close your eyes and let the word come to you. Is that what the meditation means? Or just empty your thoughts, and so you gave way for the evil thoughts. Is that what the meditation is talking about? Meditation is an interesting word. It's interesting that the Hebrew word behind, you know, this particular phrase, it means to speak quietly. It also means murmuring. It's also even to plot something or to, you know, devise a plan. That kind of, you know, the connotation is here as well. The same word has been used in Psalm 2, in verse 1, when it's talk about, you know, if you look at Psalm 2, verse 1, it says, the second part I'm referring, and the people devising of vain things. So that particular word called devising or making a plan, that's the same word is as meditation as well. So what does that mean? So the meditating is something we are all, you know, familiar with, because we do it all the time. Taking a truth, thinking it over and over, until it's become a part of us. That's what the meditation is all about. That's what it means to meditate upon the law of the Lord. When you go to build something, you know, complicated, what you do? You actually meditate upon it. You think about it, you make a plan about it, and then you start, you know, your action about it. I stayed at James' place, and, you know, James tried, he builds a lot of stuff. But he doesn't just go and start building it up. What he does is, you know, he thinks about it. He just collects all the material, what he requires. He makes a plan that how he's going to start, where he's going to start, and, you know, how he's going to finish. That's what the meditation is, you know, what it means here. So there is a reading, there is a thinking, there is a working it out, a plotting, of course, speaking it over and over, and finally doing it. That's what it means of, you know, by meditating. So when the verse 2 says the blessed man meditates day and night, literally means this is what he does. You know, he thinks about the law of the Lord. He murmurs, he thinks it over and over. He makes a plan, he speaks it over and over, and finally he does according to the law of the Lord. Now apply that is to the, you know, that's to the Bible and how you meditate on God's word. It shows that meditating is much more than a quick read of the Bible. It shows that it's even, you know, much more than memorizing it, isn't it? Because meditation according to scripture is not only memorizing. It's letting God's word really sink it in. Sink it in your soul. You know, influence your thinking, the way you behave, the way you think. Let it sink in. That's what it means of meditation. It changes your behavior inside and out. That's what it means of meditation. It's the same progression as the verse 1. But remember I said it was a downward progression. But here it is the upward progression. This is what the blessed man does. When and the third thing, you know, in verse 2, when are this supposed to be done? The meditation supposed to be done day and night. That literally means 24/7, 365 days of a year. What does that mean? All the time? In a way, yes, it is. all the time. You can do it, you know, whenever you have got free headspace. It's one thing you can do while driving, but you will only be able to do it throughout the day if you have some kind of disciplined approach or focused approach, you know, to what some call a quiet time, some call a family worship, some call a different thing, you know. There is a different way. This is a quiet time, you know, where you are meditating. You let the word sink it in your soul, in your mind. Just let it sink in. You read it over and over. You think over it. A regular time of Bible reading and prayer, that's what you know, it's going to help you to meditate upon the law of the Lord. And the psalm teaches us that, you know, you do it every day. Find a time that works around your schedule. Whichever, you know, if you are a morning person, do it in the morning. If you are an evening person, then do it in the evening, whichever the time. That's the secret of life, secret to a life of true happiness and contentment. That's the first first thing we learn here. Let's look at the second thing, the experience of the blessed. We see that in verses 3 and 4. Why this approach leads to such happiness? That's what we see here in verses 3 and 4. Look at verses 3 and 4. What it means, what it says, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. Like in verse 3, this blessed man has been compared with a tree that is planted by stream of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, he prospers. Now, the writer of Psalm, by the way, you may remember, but he did not live in a weather like Melbourne where, you know, everyone used to have a regular rain. He used to live a place somewhere called middle of Australia where you have long period of, you know, the dry patch. You may have rain this year, may not have rain for the whole 1 year or maybe 2 years. That kind of area he's talking about. In that area, he's comparing this blessed man who is like a tree planted by the stream. So no matter what drought it comes, his root is deeply grounded in the stream and he gets his nourishment from there. And what that nourishment is? The law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And that's why he does not wither. He yields, you know, seeds. He bear fruits. And that's the dramatic picture, you know, this psalmist is drawing here. But look at this tree. What it means, it actually refers to a person of stability rather than being blown out by the circumstances. This person is he's rooted in the word of God, so no matter what kind of trials and tribulations and, you know, the temptation comes on his way, he is firmly rooted. He's stable. He's not going to be blown like, you know, by the winds. He's going to be firmly rooted there. So weather can change, but the tree remains constant. Your circumstances can turn bad, but you don't. And that kind of, you know, the person is this. This is what Paul is, you know, on about when he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he writes, you know, hard pressed, but not crushed. Hard pressed, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. How can he say that? Because he's talking about Christians whose roots are firmly rooted in the word of the Lord, in the law of the Lord, who are firmly, you know, taking their nourishment from the Lord. Though, you know, all kinds of persecution comes, but this kind of person never, you know, go from one place to the other. In other words, he's not blown about by circumstances because his life is rooted on something that is called stable. That is called stable. Second thing, the tree metaphor shows that the blessed are those who grow through hard times as well. Notice how it says the tree yields its fruit in season, and whatever it does, he prospers. This is despite the fact the tree constantly goes through hard times. You know, it goes through all the season of life. You guys live in this area. I have a less experience of living in country area, the countryside. I do not understand farming much, but you guys understand that. I know very little about it. You know, think of this particular person, you know, he's comparing with this tree. This is despite the fact that the tree constantly goes through hard time. It does go through all season of life, like drought, cold, heat wave, strong wind, dust storms, and so on. This tree cannot go through the longest, you know, can go through the longest drought ever on record. That's kind of, you know, the language the psalmist is using. Whatever he does, he prospers. But so long as it has its root in the stream, that stream, it keeps growing. It keeps bearing fruit. So it's saying that if you are one of these blessed people, yes, you will go through the all season of life, all kinds of hardship, but none of them can take away that inner joy that's rooted in God's word. But if you look at, you know, the verse 4, there is a contrast. There is a contrast. The contrast could not be any more severe. Here we have in verse 3 a tree planted, you know, by the stream of water. Any kind of season comes, it's nothing going to happen to that tree. And now in verse 4, we have been, you know, it has been compared with chaff. What it says is this. He doesn't say that not so with the wicked. They are like tree planted in a desert. No. He's not saying. But he's comparing them with chaff. No. They are like chaff. Chaff is all the stuff that is separated from the grain or seed after it harvested. Basically, chaff has no substance. No substance whatsoever. So it just blows away in the wind. And that's how they used to separate the grain from the chaff as well. The thing about the chaff, though, is that it's unlike tree. It lacks two vital elements. First, chaff does not have any root. Second, chaff does not bear any fruit. No root means it has no life source. No fruit means no purpose in the life at all. It is ultimately empty, futile, of no use. It's just empty. It's just empty. That is the contrast. The life of stability and growth on the one side, on the other side, there is a life that is empty and blown about. This contrast leads into the third part of the psalm, and that is the destiny of the blessed person as well. We can see that in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5, look at what it says. Therefore, the wicked will stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. This is talking about the final judgment. In the end, this is saying that everyone will be at the final judgment, but the wicked, who are like chaff, will not be able to stand. That's what it's talking about. It's about the final judgment. And so this is the great reality that hangs over every single one of us. That we are all destined to die once and then face judgment. And on that day, what our lives are rooted in will be finally, it will be revealed. The fruitful tree will stand, but the chaff will be blown away. So there you go. Two ways, two metaphors, two destinies, and only one of them will be happy in the long run. But the question, you know, if this psalm raises is this. Which one are you? Which one are you? Which one describes you? See, Psalm 1 does not command to live as a blessed person, but it describes a blessed person. That literally means the question we should be asking is, which one describes you? The psalm is describing two people, not commanding them. Are you among the assembly of the righteous or one of the wicked? On judgment day, which crowd will you be standing with? And that is the question we should be asking. The righteous or the wicked? There is no third person. There is no third way. Either you will be with righteous or you will be with wicked. So how do you know? How do you know which one describes you? the thing about the distinction made in the psalm, it's very clear-cut. You know, it's not a rocket science. It's very clear-cut. Either you are a blessed person or you are a wicked person. You are either one of them. But if you become brutally honest with yourself, if I become brutally honest with myself, we can very well say, and if we measure our life against the Psalm 1, we can say that, you know, at best, we are the mix of both of them. At best. You know, we have certain characteristics of the blessed man, but we are also wicked as well. We'll all go on, you know, along with the influence of the world. Haven't delighted in the law of the Lord. We definitely do not meditate day and night on the law of the Lord. It's not always the main characteristics that defines us. It doesn't. In fact, if we really think about it, the blessed man in this psalm describing it really only true about one person who lived on this earth, and that is Jesus Christ. There is no one else on this universe who lived the life of this blessed person which the Psalm 1 describes. So in reality, the Psalm 1 is comparing Jesus Christ with the rest of the humanity. That's what the Psalm 1 is all about. It's not about, you know, my life, you know, how can I be blessed? No, this is a comparison of Jesus Christ with the rest of the humanity. Jesus is the only one who truly delighted in the law of the Lord and meditated on day and night. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 says, this word, when were written about Jesus, I delight to do your will, O my God. That's what, you know, the word has been mentioned there. Your law is within my heart. Everything Jesus said and did was an expression of his love of God's word. That's what he did. But there is a puzzling question here. That opens up a big puzzle. You know, how did go for this true blessed man? Jesus, if he is the true blessed man, what did he receive? What did he get for his life of perfect obedience to his Father? How did he end up his, you know, life end up? Was he prosperous? Was he, you know, happy man? Was he truly happy? Was he like the tree? No, in fact, he was hung on the tree. He was hung on a cross. Why? He was treated like the wicked, like a chaff. He has, you know, that's how he was treated. Nailed on a cross like a hardened criminal. He was treated like chaff, not fit to live, they say. But why? The Bible says, so that the people like you, people like me, who are wicked, you know, can receive the blessing of this blessed man. So Bible says, so that people like you and I, who haven't kept the law of the Lord, who are not righteous, can stand in the assembly of the righteous on the judgment day. That's why. He died as a substitute for all those who repent and believe and trust in him. This is how we are supposed to read Psalm 1. Do you know how I know that? Because Psalm 1 starts with a person called blessed man. You know, and Psalm 2, if you look at this, you know who this blessed man is? If you read the last verse of Psalm 2, you will find that this is the blessed man. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. But who is this, you know, him? He's talking about the Son of God. He's talking about, the Psalm 2 talks about the Jesus Christ. All those who take refuge in Jesus Christ will be blessed. How blessed are all those who take refuge in him. You can't have the blessing of Psalm 1 without the blessing of Psalm 2. And here is the point. Once you have taken refuge in Jesus, now you can truly delight in the law of the Lord. You know, do you know why? Because by trusting in Jesus, you are no longer in the condemnation of the law. Now, the law becomes delight for you. You know, law is no more restrictive, because that law brings joy to your heart, because that's what your Father desires of you. That's what he wants of you. And that's why you delight in the law. That's been, you know, do you know why? Because this trusting in Jesus, you are no longer under the condemnation. Everything, all our sins, past, present, and future, has been taken care of. So everything the Bible exposes, you know, in us that is wrong, we can confess to God, turn away from in our heart, and trust that Christ, the Son of God, has taken at the cross. And so, in that way, we meditate on the sentence and any word in Scripture. It should ultimately lead us to Christ. He is, after all, the streams of living water. You know, the living water which Psalm 1 talks about a tree, that living water, the stream of living water, is no one else but Jesus himself. Every hope is guaranteed now. Every command is the word of a loving Father. You know, when you trust in him, every warning is not, you are not going to take it as a restrictive or oppressive, but you will understand that it is the expression of my Father in heaven. It is his love towards me. That's how you're going to understand that. That's what will, you know, make you want on meditate on the law of the Lord. But it's only in Christ that the word of God functions like that. See, Psalm 1 has opened up this, you know, interesting point. Challenge and the question we should be asking is this. Have you really taken refuge in Christ? Refuge means what? Refuge means literally, if we can say, to become refugee, you know, surrender everything. I can't do anything on my own. But there are many people, you know, who try to be right with God on their own works. If you are one of them, my friend, then read this, you know, Psalm 1 very carefully. Only those, you know, this is a narrow gate. We read that from Luke 13 before. This is the narrow gate. Who will surrender himself to Christ? Only they will receive this blessing of a righteous person. So, Psalm 1 is the blessing of going God's way and not going on the way of the wicked. It brings stability in this life and ultimate stability in the life to come. That's what the Psalm 1 is talking about. That's why it's the way of true and lasting happiness. This is the gateway of Psalm. As you read Psalm 1, understand that you have been just introduced to this great book, which is going to talk to you about the true happiness in this life. This is a happiness that endures through all circumstances and continues on for all eternity. So, let me end by this question. Do you know this happiness? Are you among the righteous by faith who delights in the God's word, or are you going the way of unbelief? Which one describes you? You don't need to tell me that. But ask yourself a question, because there is no third way. Either you will stand with righteous, or you will be treated as a chaff. That's the only one way to be eternally happy. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we praise your name, O God. Father, we praise your name that you have opened this way for us, that by taking refuge in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father, we can be declared blessed person. Father, we thank you for that. And Father, we just pray that help us by the power of your Spirit to understand your word clearly, meditate upon it, and Father, help us that may we meditate on your law, and Father, may we just love your law. May we take delight in your law, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.